Opening your Bibles, please, to the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. Last Sunday, I started a series of sermons, three total in this series, on the subject, Wythful Baptist Church Under Spiritual Construction. And today, the subtopic of my message, Reformation from the Natural to the Spiritual. What in the world can that mean? So if you have your Bibles open, look at the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter to those people he loves so much. Just above verse 10, where I want to start reading, there really was the conclusion of the message from last Sunday, so connecting the two, I want you to hear what it says up there in verse 9. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind can conceive, these are the things God has prepared for those who love Him. Obviously, the first question of the day, do you love the Lord? Well, of course I love the Lord. I've been a member of this church for 100 years. I didn't ask that. I want to know, do you love the Lord? Amen. If you love the Lord Jesus, then no eye has seen, ear or heard. Can it even enter into your mind the things He has prepared for those who love Him? Now for today. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? And in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given. And this is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by us or to us by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. And the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. Yes, that's the truth. And cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have, he's talking about us, Christian folks, we have the mind of Christ. Now chapter 3. Brothers and sisters, I cannot address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. Now notice that he calls them brothers and sisters, meaning that they are a part of the Christian community. But at the same time, he says that they are people who are still worldly. They are mere infants in Christ. Now, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not able or yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You're still worldly. For since there is jealousies and quarrels among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? Pray with me. Lord, these are powerful verses that must be unwrapped like a package so that we can understand them the way you would have us to. I have this awesome responsibility now, and I cannot do this, Lord, without your assistance. I pray for this same Spirit of which we have just read, the divine Holy Spirit, to give me discernment in being able to preach this message you've given. In Christ's name, amen. The world is made up of 6 billion, that is with a B, 6 billion people. It is said that by the year 2040, we will top out at 7.2 billion. And then it says, at that time, we will start to decline. And the reason will be because of the lack of food and pure water and a bad environment. And as I look at the world and as you look at it from your point of view, it is very obvious that there are all kinds of people that we live among. There are short people, tall people, people of all sizes and types, people with different shapes and different colors, people who speak different languages, people who have different talents and abilities, people who have come from different backgrounds and educational levels, all kinds of people among this 6 billion people. But considering all of that as an introduction, remember this, that of all of these people, there are only 3 categories of individuals. Only 3. And I want to explain to you today, in the time that I have left, a little bit about each of these categories. Point number one. The first category is that which we call the natural person. We find that in verse 10 through 14. And the natural person operates and functions apart from the Spirit of the living God. The natural person are still living in the way they were naturally created. They are still living apart from the Savior who came to this earth to save the natural and convert the natural to the spiritual. Now, this person is lost without Christ. I don't know a simpler way to say it. The natural person is lost without Christ. The dangerous thing is that sometimes even we who are called by the name of Christ say, well, it's just my nature to be that way. I bet I've said that to Pat 100 times. And oh, if I could just die to some of my natural self. I'm a hyperactive person. I'm a type A personality. I'm in a category in which there are millions of other people, hyper and type A. And it's just a part of my nature. And so we oftentimes use as an excuse our natural selves. But according to the Scripture, the natural man or the natural person only has value in things that can be seen or felt or judged by the other of our 5 senses. But the things of Christ to that person, according to the Scripture, seems foolish. And we live in that kind of world. What we're doing here and the processes that we're trying to follow to do a spiritual reconstruction of Withful Baptist Church seem foolish to the natural person. And it's because the things that we are trying to do are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned because a wonderful thing happened to us on the way to Calvary. receiving Christ as our Savior, we also received a great gift. And the wonder of wonders is that we were changed by His grace into spiritual beings. And I'm going to talk about that in point number 3. And so, to the natural person, these things that we do, this scripture that we read, this preaching that we do, is foolishness. Paul even said that earlier. And in other letters that he wrote. To some, the gospel preaching is foolishness. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. And he went on to say that he was not ashamed of that. That power of God unto salvation. Are you embarrassed when you are given an opportunity to share your faith with someone? Move beyond that embarrassment and say, I'm a child of God. And I've received the Holy Spirit, and that reception of the Holy Spirit has given me a wonderful gift to discern spiritual things from natural things. And that's who you are. And that's the people He wants us to be. And the natural person may acknowledge that these things that they're able to see and feel and judge and all the other things that arrive through our 5 human senses give us a certain amount of knowledge up here, but the knowledge of the natural must move 18 inches below to the heart that beats strong in a desire to know something better, to know something different. And Pat and I just got through reading the wonderful book that I hope all of you read that you've returned to the library today, didn't you, Pat? About one of our own ladies in town. And in that story, she tells of her childhood and growing up at the Virginia Baptist Children's Home and the abuse of her parents, her mother especially. And growing up in the kind of situation she grew up in, she had a very difficult time connecting the pieces. Because in the natural world, there was great beauty and the things she could see and touch and hear. The things she could taste and realize were all wonderful and beautiful, but yet still something was amiss, something was wrong, something was missing. And what it was the contact of the great gift that all of us received as Christians, the gift of the Holy Spirit. John Foster Dulles was giving a speech at Princeton University one time, and he was talking on the subject of politics. And he said, politics without the Holy Spirit cannot work. And one of the students listening to him that day punched the other one and said, what is the Holy Spirit? And sometimes even in the house of God, Christians act like that. The Holy Spirit is that to be feared. That in some way, the Holy Spirit is an inactive part of who we are. And yet, without the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, how are we sustained in our growth as Christians? The answer is, we cannot be. We are natural. But we have been given the Spirit for spiritual discernment. But we must move to point number 2. You remember I said that there are 3 categories, and in all of the 6 billion people on the earth, there are only 3 categories. One is the natural person. And then there is the carnal person. Look at chapter 3 of this passage of Scripture, verse 1. Paul said to them, sounds kind of insulting. Most pastors in churches couldn't get by with it unless you're an interim pastor, and they can run an interim pastor off, you know. It doesn't hurt too bad. He says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. We call that in the Christian faith carnality, living in the carnal. Now, the carnal person is saved. We know that because he calls them brothers and sisters. That was the term that was used beginning with the founding of the new church in Acts. When they came into the faith as an identity, they called each other brothers and sisters. And the carnal person is saved, but the carnal person is in an infant stage. Isn't it fun when you're trying to teach your grandbabies how to talk? Oh my goodness, we had a ball with that. And I told Andy and Michelle, the parents of my first grandchild, Briley, I said, now, the first word that she's going to learn to say, mark it down, the first word she's going to learn to say is Papa. And I worked with her, and I worked with her, and I worked with her, and every time I was holding her on my lap and reading a story to her, I would say to her, who is this? And she'd say, Papa. She said Papa before Mama or Daddy. She even said Papa before she said no. She learned to say Papa. Isn't it fun to teach children how to talk? And they blow me away. The intellect of children. Now she is almost 9 years old and carries on a conversation with me that I cannot believe. Phenomenal. The intellect of our children. And the sad part of chapter 3, verse 1, is that Paul said, now I came to you. Remember what he said last week? He said, when I came to you, I didn't come to you with fine speech. I didn't come to you with an element of intellect and great wisdom. I came to you and professed to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And now we come to chapter 3, and he says, I cannot talk to you in a language that you are able to discern, because you are still discerning from a worldly perspective. This is what we call the carnal person. Now, the carnal person is saved, but they're in an infant stage. Flip over real quickly to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Paul's still writing, and he has something else to say about this. In verse 1 of chapter 13, he says, I may be able to speak in tongues, in the tongues of many men and even of angels, but do not have love, and if I don't, I'm nothing more than just a clanging cymbal. All I do is just make a whole bunch of noise. That's all. Go down a little bit farther to verse 11 and 12 of that same chapter 13. Here's what he says. Listen to this. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And when I became a man, here we go, I put away the childhood far behind me. And now we are nothing more than a mere reflection, as if we were looking in a mirror. Because when you look at a mirror, you see two things. One, how you really look, but also a distorted view of who you really are. And what the goal is in the Christian life is to move from being purely infants, child, and childish, but moving to spiritual adulthood. And he said, now I know in part, but then when that time comes, I not only will know fully, but I will be fully known. And that's what we want as Christians. Two prayers we ought to pray with regularity. Oh God, that I would know you more through your Son, the Lord Jesus, as the Holy Spirit in me gives discernment as to the kind of life I ought to live by that same Spirit. But now, in my progressiveness, moving slowly through this period of carnality, I do not know you yet as much as I would like to know you. But I'm moving in that direction. Are you wanting, desiring? Is your plea to God, oh Lord, that I might know you more than just seeing you in a glass that's shadowed over, a mirror that is smogged and does not give me the true picture? I want to know you, Lord, as fully as you know me. A carnal person speaks like a baby and thinks like a baby. He even gives some examples. He said, what is the validation for my accusation against you in this regard? And this is the hurtful part. He said, you know how I know that you're still carnal? You know how that I know that you're still children and living in childish ways? He said, because I understand that there are grievances among you. That's a politically correct word, because he didn't know anything about political correctness. And he said, there's jealousies among you, and there's quarrelings among you. And because of these quarrelings and these jealousies, are you not worldly? Are you not carnal? I tell you, some of the displays of childhood I've witnessed in my 45 years of ministry have not been from the little children who went out to children's church. They've been from adults who've been members of the church for years, who don't get their way about something so small, and they'll argue about it till the cows come over the hill like a little child fighting over a toy. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. Don't you really want to move from being a carnal person to point number three, the spiritual? Now, if there are three categories of people in all of these 6 billion on the earth, natural, carnal, and spiritual, then which do you really want to be? And you see, this third one is a progressive and ongoing goal for Christians to desire to attain. Go back to chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians and look at verse 15 and 16, what he says. He says, the person, now we're talking about the spiritual, and he says, the person with the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. And it's pretty simple. I don't think that you need a country preacher to explain that to you, but lest we misunderstand, can I at least give it a shot? What we have a problem with in the Christian experience is this question of judgment. Churches have been divided. The Southern Baptist Convention almost split in two, and Virginia Baptists were split into, all over making discernments about various passages of Scripture. Some think that we ought to use nothing but the King James Version, while others say, no, we use nothing but the Greek. And we argue over translations. Then we argue over whether women should serve or whether women should not serve. And I'll tell you, you know what's really funny in the Baptist church? Think about the humor behind this right here. Now, not this church, praise God. One thing I asked as soon as I was interviewed to be the interim pastor, do you have women deacons? And the answer immediately came back, yes. I said, hallelujah. That's at least one thing that I'm happy about. And, well, here's what's funny. This is humorous. Think about how humorous this is. We fight in the Southern Baptist Convention on the role of women in church, and yet the three most important collections that we make for missions are named after women. Lonnie Moon, Annie Armstrong, and Alma Hunt. Thank you. I wanted to go farther, but I said, I better stop right there. Better shut up while I can. The problem is that we've got to understand the true essence of what judgment is. We are not, listen to me, we are not the judge of other people. Thank goodness we leave that to the Father God who loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And one day we will address Him as He addresses us, and that'll be the time of judgment. But in the meantime, we do not have that authority. It has not been given to us. But it says that the Spirit gives us, watch again in case you missed it, but the Spirit who, or the person who is with the Spirit, makes judgments about all things. But such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. How many people, and I know this is tough, and I know you're saying, I wish you'd hush, we're past time. But I'm going to tell you, this is something that needs to be said. How many lives have we destroyed? How many people have we damaged our witness in front of? How many folks have left the body of Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ, because they experienced the harsh and unseemly judgment of other Christians upon their lives? We better watch out. We better watch out. We need to leave that thing up to the Lord God. Because we have the Spirit of the living God in us, we have the privilege of making spiritual judgments or discernments. And leave the rest up to God. And if we'll do that, then we'll be all right. Well, let's move to the conclusion. I want you to see a picture up here. And look at that thing. Now that right there, where is old Eric? Are you awake over our brother? All right. Listen, this man has to get up at 3:00 in the morning. He said, Pastor, if I nod off, don't blame me. I said, buddy, you keep on milking them cows. You'll be all right with me. This is a John Deere tractor. You know what nomenclature that is, Brother Eric? Yeah. Yep. I think now, I may be wrong, you're the expert, but I believe that may be a 9560R. Does that sound about right? Hey, what am I saying to you? That's a big tractor. Can that thing get a lot of work done? Now listen, I've got a little John Deere lawn tractor, 115. You put it beside of that thing, There's no comparison. But when our little, when our son Andrew was 3 years old, he could look at every tractor that he could find, and he could tell you what kind of tractor that was. Primarily went by colors. If it was red, it was a Farmall. If it was a blue, it was a Ford. If it was a green, it was a John Deere. And we had our family reunion down in Shawsville at Camp Altamont when he was 3 years old. And little Andy came up missing. And we all panicked. And then all of a sudden, my father said, "Find the nearest tractor. You'll find Andy." And there he was, sitting up on a big tractor like this, behind the wheel. And it wasn't as fancy back in that day, Eric. But he was sitting up on that thing, holding that steering wheel, and trying to figure out how to crank that up. Now, he had the desire, but he didn't know how to do it. The desire and the value of you people cannot be measured by a 9560R John Deere tractor. You surpass it all. The power that is within you as a church, blessed in you by the Holy Spirit, goes far beyond any power that the human mind can comprehend. The only thing is, we just got to use it. We just got to use it. And so I'm asking you, you don't want to be natural. If you're here today and if you've never received Christ as your Savior, you're living in the natural state. You certainly don't want to live in the carnal state. You know Christ is Savior, but you're still walking as an infant, a child, in childish ways. But what you really want to be is spiritual. Directed, guided, influenced, and led forward by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the people said, pray with me. Oh Lord God, how marvelous is your word in all of its way. And Father, we scarcely know how to explain it apart from that same Spirit about which I have spoken. As we go about the process in our church of spiritual reconstruction, God, help every person within the sound of my voice here today to consider that, reaffirm their faith in you, and say, beginning this day, no longer am I going to walk in the carnal, but I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Now, in just a moment, we're going to stand and sing our invitation hymn, and it'll be your opportunity to respond. This is just not idle time now, folks. This is a time of commitment. And we're going to sing a very special song, "Change My Heart, O God." And as you sing that song, pray diligently. Oh, pray diligently. Lord, convict my spirit. Convict my soul. If you need to step out and come to the altar and pray, or you would like for me to pray with you, this is the moment, this is the time for us to do it. And so therefore, Heavenly Father, I dedicate the rest of this service to you. By your power and authority, take full and complete charge. In Jesus' name, amen.